Greetings to everybody. It's great to be with everybody, even in cyberland, as we call it. So it's great to be together. I would ask you to turn with me to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 20. I want to read a particular scripture here that probably has posed some questions over time, and maybe you've looked at it yourself and you kind of puzzled over it a little bit. But I want to go into something here. The title of this is simply put, Follow the Science, Follow the Science, So that is the title. Let's go right into verse 20 of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And in these closing comments here, the apostle Paul, one of our apostles, was giving a final admonishment to his evangelist Timothy. And he says, "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust." In other words, keep what he had been trained in, what he'd been taught by the apostle Paul. Sound doctrine for sure. "Avoiding profane and vain babblings." Anything that's contrary to sound doctrine, basically, and utter nonsense. And there's an awful lot of that because Satan confuses the issue so many times. He tries to mess up our minds, mess up our thinking. He really does try to do that. That's what he's all about. He wants to twist our thinking, pull us away from the truth. That's what he wants to do. But let's look at this last part here. It says, "And oppositions of science, falsely so called." Now, what a strange comment that is. Oppositions of science. What could he possibly be talking about? Before I go any further, brethren, what I want to say is this is one of only two places where you'll find the word science in the Bible. But in the New Testament, this word from the original Greek is only translated science in this one place. In many other places, it's translated into a different word. So there is sort of a bigger expression for this particular word that we're talking about. And the word I want to give you is gnosis. I think that's the proper pronunciation of it. G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. That is the original Greek. But as you go through the New Testament, it's interestingly translated, not so much science, but it's translated as knowledge. Now, brethren, people like to present themselves as having knowledge. You know, they're kind of like salesmen. They come to you with these really impressive phrases like, you know, they might use the phrase, follow the science. We've heard a lot of that lately. Just simply follow the science. And it's intimidating because you say, well, this man, he's using the word science. He must really know what he's talking about. But does he in every instance? Brethren, we're to challenge people when they try to present something to us as science or as knowledge. We are. We have to challenge that. We have to test it. The Bible says test the spirits because there's a lot of false thinking and ideas that have been floated in this world to deceive God's people. And it's up to us, brethren, to be very careful with any of that. It really is. If you go to the Webster's Dictionary and look up the word science, it's interesting as well. It's kind of like a confirmation of what we just went through with the Greek word in the Bible. It simply says systematized knowledge. But it is knowledge, brethren. Science is knowledge. Knowledge is science. And the two are sort of inseparable because it's the same thought. But it's based on fact. It's based on data. It's based on something that's absolutely provable. That's the point. Now, brethren, how did you come into the truth? Did you come into it because somebody says, oh, I got this nice church over here? Kind of a lot of strange doctrines, but, you know, I'm pretty convinced they sound pretty good. They sound pretty good, and it kind of appeals to me. Is that how you came into the truth? I don't think so. I think what you did was you were presented with these ideas, and these teachings. You say, well, I'm going to test them. I'm going to look into them. I'm going to get the data, the background. I'm going to look at the facts. And that's what I'm going to hang my hat on, brother. And that's how you come into the truth of the Bible. It's not simply an emotional thing. It's not something because, well, my friends are over here. That's the place to be. Or I like the idea. That's very appealing to me. No, it's because you proved it. You took the time to dig into it, to get all of the facts. And when we do that, then we have an absolute established foundation that is unshakable. It's kind of like if you built a house. You know, you put all the building materials into that house to make it solid so that it's not going to fall apart. Now, if you put false doctrine into your spiritual house, it can easily fall apart. As a matter of fact, it will. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to last. But brethren, that is what we have to do. Yes, we have to follow the science. It's provable, factual, data-based, absolute, unshakable. That's what we have to do, brethren, in everything, and especially with biblical knowledge. It is incredibly important, because if it was just simply a fact that you said, well, I'm going to look for a religion, I'm going to look for a place where I can hang my hat and say, well, I'm going to be religious, I'm going to solve that big question in my life, then, you know, you could say, well, I see this church down the road, it's kind of close, it's kind of a nice place, it looks great, all my friends go there, that's where I should go. And that's what most people do. They don't check into the fact of the matter. They don't dig into whether this is true knowledge or false knowledge, false science. They don't do that. And that's why the whole world is deceived. And that's why so very few people are not deceived, brethren. And it is very, very few. You know, if we were like everybody else, you'd say, well, all the lemmings are going over the cliff. I better go too, because I want to be with the majority. But you don't, brethren. You want to be where the facts are. You want to be where the knowledge is. You want to be where the science is, and you want to follow true science. Brethren, I won't turn there because I don't have time. Excuse me, but I want to draw your attention to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, a critical scripture for God's people. Doesn't matter when you lived or have lived or are living. Doesn't matter what time period you live in. Doesn't matter what age you live in. This scripture applies 100% all of the time. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, it says, prove all things. Don't just accept something because it's been spoon-fed to you. Prove it. Absolutely, brother. That is what we as God's people are commanded to do. That is the church that Jesus built that will stand the test of time, that it's unshakable, unmovable, and it'll always be abounding in the work of the Lord. It really will. Prove all things, and then what does it say? Hold fast to that which is good or solid or evidence, data-based, all of that. That's what we do, brethren. When we do that, we will have the truth on our side. Now, I want to go very quickly to John, the 10th chapter. John 10, and I want to just show here, just cut in a little bit in a thought here, John, the 10th chapter. Let's go to verse 10, brethren. John 10, verse 10, and this is a wonderful, wonderful chapter in the book of John. And it is simply about the voice of the shepherd. Of course, that voice of the shepherd obviously is Jesus Christ, isn't it? He is the voice of the shepherd. He is the fountain of truth. He really is. The fountain of all truth. He is fact-based, data-driven. He's unassailable, what he represents and what he teaches. It's unmovable. It's provable. So what does it say here, brethren? Now, you contrast this with the world. because the world is out to deceive us. It really is. It wants to get. It wants to pull us away. It wants to take something from you. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to take away any opportunity of salvation from us. He wants to take it away from us so that we don't have that opportunity. He hates the fact that God has called us to salvation at this time. He really does. He wants to pull us away from it. So what does it say here? Here's what God is all about, what he is giving to us. He is a giver. He is the great giver based on his truth, knowledge, science, fact-based, fact-driven. This is what he wants to do. And this is what happens when you follow the true knowledge that Jesus Christ has. It says here, the thief comes, verse 10 of John 10, the thief comes not, but to steal. Hidden agendas? Yes. Hidden ideologies? Yes. The world is filled with ideologies, agendas that are driven in a direction that is completely opposite to God's ideology, God's agenda, his kingdom of God, which is coming soon. But he says here, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what this world's all about, brethren. We have to come out of this world. We have to come out of the false science of this world, the false knowledge of this world, so that it says, but he says here in the latter part of this, I am come that they might have life. That's what true knowledge gives, brethren. It's life. And that they might have it more abundantly. That's what God is all about, brethren. He really and truly is. Very quickly, in closing, let's go to John the 14th chapter, because if you personified science, if you personified knowledge, what would you be looking at? Rather, you'd be looking straight and directly at Jesus Christ, because he is a personification of true knowledge and true science. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am all of those things. Brethren, we need to follow Jesus Christ, the head of his true church. And we need to make sure that everything that we put into our minds is based on truth, knowledge, and true science. And if we do, brother, we truly will be on our way to the kingdom of God.